graduate your counselee. Why is this important? What does this have to do with the counseling process? What are, let's just add, by way of reminder, track four, might have been a while, what are the goals of biblical counseling? The goals of biblical counseling are to bring about love for God and a changed life through the counsel of the Holy Spirit by God's word. We want people to love God more and to change through scripture. Pretty basic stuff. But that's fundamentally different than how the world approaches things. Secular psychology would say, hey, let's just have a conversation. Let's discover ourselves. Let's love ourselves. Let's keep having the conversation as long as you are paying. And then Christian psychology is better, but it also will head down that kind of self-love track with a smattering of biblical theology. And that can really also point to quick and easy behavior change. Just do this, 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 and then you're gone. Biblical counseling aims to understand identity in Christ through God's word, and then to worship God by changing our hearts and habits towards the image of Christ. So what does graduation have to do with that? Here's a definition of graduation. Graduation is ending regular biblical counseling as a result of biblical change with their presenting problems and heart issues. So graduation is ending regular biblical counseling as a result of biblical change with their presenting problem and heart issues. Like Pastor Alex said just about an hour ago, biblical counseling is not regular discipleship. It is intense discipleship in a few particular areas of the person's life. And so biblical counseling is not meant to be a forever relationship, though we love each other in Christ and we're brothers and sisters in Christ. It's not meant to be a forever thing. It is a focused season of intense discipleship on a particular area where someone is struggling, where someone is hurting, where someone is sinning. That's how you go about it. And so we should be looking towards graduation all the time. The first appointment that you have with a counselee is one step closer to graduation. The point in counseling, the session in counseling where you have to point out hidden and habitual and gross sin is one step closer to graduation. Because what is graduation? It's pushing towards biblical change with their presenting problem, with their heart issues beneath. And so everything that we do, we're looking to see, I want this person to change in godliness. I want this person to become someone who loves God with all their heart. And so I'm pushing them to that end all the time. And we want to look at it because we're aiming for change. We also want to plan for graduation. And that's what we're going to mainly focus on tonight. My hope is to just kind of reverse engineer the process. The verse that's on the top, I believe, of your notes, Romans 15:14, I myself am satisfied about you, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge and able to instruct one another. And that's really our prayer. Not that the person would walk out a pristine, perfect Christian, but that they would love God, that they would be growing in their discipleship, that they would be growing in their love for Jesus, and that they would be taking these things that we've been teaching and faithfully working through with them, and they'd be applying it to their lives. And so that's what we're planning for. That's what we want to celebrate. So look for graduation, plan for graduation, and then we'll talk about a little bit later, what does it look like to celebrate graduation? But planning for graduation is key. And how do we do that? How do we do that? I have four key questions that I'm going to ask throughout, that I am asking myself throughout the counseling process as I look towards graduation. Four key questions. Now for clarification, this is going to look like super easy and simple and like almost like a conveyor belt. It's not that at all. See this, and it's like, okay, I got the framework, I got the formula, like we'll just do this. It's much harder than this, but we got to have a plan. It's much messier than this, but we want to be planning so that we can be flexible when things change. The first question that I want to ask is, what have I taught them? What have I taught them? I have the responsibility as a counselor to make sure that I'm listening, gathering good data all the time. You can look back at the 8 I's, that's track one. See how important the data gathering process is. But at some point as a counselor, we have to begin teaching them how they can trust God and how they can change according to his word. I love 1 Thessalonians 5:14. It's a key verse within counseling. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. And if you notice, there's three different types of people in there. There's the idle or the unruly, there's the faint-hearted, and then there's the weak. Once you determine what that person is, then you are called to minister to them in accordance to where they are. So if they're unruly, you admonish them. If they are faint-hearted, you encourage them. If they're weak, you help them. You do it with a spirit of patience. But once we've figured out the situation, we need to minister them appropriately. So I've just got like a little triangle diagram that you guys will see, and I'm going to share a lot. I'm going to be talking a lot about this little diagram, so you may want to turn over your notes or something like that, because we're going to break it down here a little bit more. So I'm just giving you fair warning. But there's three major directions that I have to teach my counselees. I have to teach them as a counselor. This is going to take different amounts of time, depending on the maturity, the mindset of the counselee, but I just want to be faithful to teach these general principles in every counseling case. So the first one, God first. Counselees need to know God for who he is, what he's done for us, and respond with a commitment to trust him. God first. Second, look in the mirror. Counselees need to be able to look honestly at what Scripture says about who they are, what the Bible says about their sin, and then even to the level of the heart. And then biblical behavior change. We're looking for change. Counselees need to have change in accordance with Scripture, though. It's not just change for change's sake, but change in word, thought, and action according to God's word. So let's see if we can look at this a little bit. Zoom in on this a little bit. God first. Oftentimes when people come in for counseling, they are looking at the totality of their problems and not spending much time considering God. And so my goal is to set the foundation that they need to know God for who he is and what he's done, and then respond by trusting him with the situations that they are facing. So there are three kind of things within this. The first thing is what I want to teach them is who God is. I want to teach them that God is sovereign, God is wise, and God is good. I want to teach them those three key things. Now, I can't take credit for this. This is from Stuart Scott, who's at the Masters University. He wrote From Pride to Humility, and then he stole it from Jerry Bridges. So there's a whole bunch of stealing going on here, so take it and take credit for it. It's great. It's all good. So God is sovereign, God is wise, God is good. And so I will go through this with my counselees, and I'll write, God is sovereign. And I'll say, let's say that this couple has a six-year-old kid, and I'll say, how would you explain sovereignty to your six-year-old? And they're like, I'm not even sure that I know what that word means. And so we work through that and we talk through that. We talk about power. We talk about authority, and we go there. And eventually I get to the spot where I say, God is sovereign means that God gets to do what he wants. He can do what he wants. He has the power and the authority to do that. Psalm 115:3. It says, our God is in the heavens. He does all that he pleases. And so I want to teach them about God's sovereignty. So God is sovereign. God can do what he wants. The second thing I want to talk about is that God is wise. Well, how would you explain God being wise to your six-year-old? And work through that. We talk through it. Eventually, we get to the point of God knows and God does what is best. God knows and God does what is best. Psalm 139, 2 through 4. Turn there real quick. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all together. And then I'll add Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. Because what does he promise to do? He will make your path straight. God knows what is best. Psalm 139, God does what is best. Proverbs 3. And then God is sovereign, God is wise, and God is good. And typically they'll have some kind of definition for this. And so I'll just share with them the sentence, God is always and actively doing good. God is always doing good and God is actively doing good. Titus 3:3-7, just a nice like lead into the gospel for me. It says, for we ourselves were once foolish, Titus 3:3, for we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. And it goes on just beautifully from there. So I get to share that God does good. He does good in creation. He made creation. He said, I've done a good thing. He's done it. He does it in salvation, Titus 3. He does it in every circumstance, Romans 8, 28 and 29. For we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose. God is a good God. God is a good God. And so I want them to